Vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. The elephant Kuvalayapida, Drishtva, seeing, to, the two of them, Krishna and Balaram, Api, and Durujayo, invincible, Kamsa, King Kamsa, Manasi, in his mind, Api, indeed, Tada, then, Brisham, exceedingly, Uddivije, he came anxious, Nripa, O King. Translation. When Kamsa saw that Kuvalayapida was dead and the two brothers were invincible, he was overwhelmed with anxiety, O King. Translation. Arrayed with variegated ornaments, garlands and garments, just like a pair of excellently costumed actors, two mighty armed lords shone splendidly in the arena. Indeed, they overpowered the minds of all onlookers with their effulgences. Translation. O King, as the citizens of the city and the people from outlying districts gazed upon those two supreme personalities from their seats in the galleries, the force of the people's happiness caused their eyes to open wide and their faces to blossom. They drank in the vision of the Lord's faces without becoming satiated. Translation. The people seemed to be drinking Krishna and Balaram with their eyes, licking them with their tongues, smelling them with their nostrils, and embracing them with their arms. Reminded of the Lord's beauty, character, charm, and bravery, the members of the audience began describing these features to one another according to what they had seen and heard. Purport. Naturally, those who assemble in Mathura for the wrestling festival had heard the latest news of Krishna's and Balaram's adventures in the city. How the lords had broken the sacrificial bow, defeated the police and killed the elephant Kuvalayapida. And now that the people were seeing Krishna and Balaram enter the arena, their greatest expectations were confirmed. Krishna is the embodiment of all beauty, fame and opulence, and therefore those assembled in the wrestling arena became fully satisfied by glorifying what they had heard of him and were now seeing. Atam kuvalayapidam drishtvat vapi durjayo kamso manasyapitada prisham udvivijenripa. When Kamsa saw that Kuvalayapida was dead, and the two brothers were invincible, he was overwhelmed with anxiety, O King. So somehow or other, King Kamsa was still thinking in the back of his mind that he could defeat the Supreme Personality of God. Of course, he wasn't thinking that Krishna or Balaram was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was thinking that they were empowered somehow or other. The prophecy was there that the eighth child of Devaki would kill him. So perhaps they were powerful devas. He didn't accept them as supreme. And he thought, although they were very powerful, I am also very powerful. And you know, I have defeated so many kings. I have defeated this Putana and the Mushtika and Chanura, and even Jarasandha couldn't do anything. So although they may be powerful, still there is good chance that I will be able to kill them. And you know, we read how, you know, the sacrificial bow and this elephant, Kuvalaya Veda, how, of course, this elephant was so powerful that he was obviously thinking that, you know, well, this elephant is going to, there's a good chance that this elephant, Kuvalaya Veda, is going to kill Krishna and kill Balaram. But somehow or other, you know, he's beginning to think these brothers are invincible. Not only that, we read that, you know, all these omens, you know, he couldn't look in the mirror and he couldn't see his head, even though his head was present. He saw his shadow and he saw a hole in the shadow, saw the stars in the, you know, in the sky as double. And the trees with a sort of a halo over them, and he was being embraced by the Buddhas, and he was drinking poison. So all these things, he walking in the sand and he couldn't see his footprints. So these are very bad omens, generally indicating death. Death is coming for you. Somehow or other, these foolish asuras. And in Kali Yuga, practically everyone is in the category of the asura. They know that their death is there, but somehow or other, they're thinking that they will prolong the situation more and more, and they're hoping that, you know, in the future, with the advancement in the science and the technology and the medicine and so on, that perhaps, who knows, that we will live so long, and even at some point reverse. So people are, you know, thinking and very attached, and some of them, you know, in the category of Vikamsa, are very, very puffed up. Very, very puffed up. Very arrogant. They have all the qualities of the asura. Dambo, dapo, bimanas, chakrota, parashamevacha, agyanam, chavichata, sapata, sapanam, asurim. They are very arrogant, conceited, harsh, angry, violent, envious. So these are in the Bhagavad Gita and other, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you can read about these qualities of the asura. So Kamsa was full of these qualities. And someone who is very proud and he's very attached to getting his own way. And when someone who's very proud is very attached to getting his own way, and then when that is challenged, oh, they become very frustrated and become very angry and are full of anxiety. That is mentioned here, that Kamsa was overwhelmed with anxiety. Of course, the people these days are full of so many anxieties. But we especially see that those very attached. Generally, an anxiety comes, you're very attached to your position. You're in ignorance, though. You don't really know. Don't fully know. You may know some things, but you don't fully know what is your, you know, your future. Fully you cannot know. You may know day by day, tomorrow I'm going to do this. But your long term, and there are so many variables. And this is my plan to do like this, my plan. But actually, maybe it will not eventuate. This material world is called the Kuntha, the place of the anxiety. Prabhupada said here in this room. But we don't want to stay in the Kuntha, the place of anxiety. We want to go to the Vaikuntha, where there is no anxiety. This is our goal. This is the devotees. So all sorts of anxieties. Anxiety means when the mind is anxious. We don't know. The mind is anxious for something. Maybe we don't know, or we want something, but it is not yet coming. We have something, and it is being taken away, so we're anxious about that. When the mind is anxious, this is the cause of the anxiety. This anxiety is causing us so much suffering. As I said, in the Kali Yuga, everyone is full of anxieties, more and more. We know from your own mind, from others, from disturbances, natural disturbances. So there's so many anxieties. But someone like Kamsa, who is so attached, so proud, they always are very attached to getting their own way. And he's been able to get his own way. Now, all of a sudden, he can see that Krishna and Balaram, they are frustrating all his endeavors, all his arrangements have been smashed by Krishna and Balaram. No one has done that to Kamsa before. Materialists in the Kali Yuga, they're being smashed all the time in so many different ways, continuously. But Kamsa, big asuras like Kamsa, they are not used to getting smashed. Most of the time they're getting their way. And therefore they become more and more confident. And that confident, when someone has a lot of pride and false ego, confidence turns to arrogance. It is said also one has to be confident in the performance of devotional service, but with humility. This is the difference between the devotee's confidence and the materialist's confidence. But quite often the confidence of the materialist, as I said, because of pride, because of false ego, generally it turns to arrogance and conceit. Conceited. You are very conceited. You are thinking that you are so much better than this one and that one. The people have that. This is conceit. You have an estimation of yourself, and you carry an attitude of superiority, and you're conceited and this arrogant. All these things. So big asuras, big powerful people. They're used to getting their own way because of their power and influence and so on and so forth. So when somehow or other something interrupts that, even in the slightest way, they become infuriated. And they become infuriated, try to take action. But after taking action, still they see they're not able to achieve what they want. What to do. And they're full of anxiety. This is Kamsa's position. Totally in anxiety. Of course, as been mentioned, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was mentioning yesterday and also mentioned previously, indirectly, Kamsa was very Krishna conscious because the cause of his anxiety was Krishna. the cause of his anxiety. So he's always thinking of Krishna. He was always in anxiety thinking of Krishna. But that's not the best way to think of Krishna. course, a Prabhupada has said that any way to think of Krishna is not bad, it's good. Just like I remember one time here, when Prabhupada came, there was some criticism in the newspapers about Hare Krishna devotees and doing this and doing that, and Prabhupada commented. He said, "Well, any mention of the word Krishna is good, even though it is criticized." He said, "It's not the best." He said, "My spiritual master, sometimes he would be given the newspaper and some article on the Hare Krishna or something like that, and he would count how many times the name Krishna was there in the article." If someone wrote an essay or wrote something, if he would count how many times, the word Krishna was there, and if there was a good amount of the word Krishna, that is very successful. That is very, very successful. So good or bad, but better good, to speak favorably. That is better. Prabhupada said is this. Good, better, and best. Good, better, and best. So the devotees there, they are trying to engage in devotional service in the best possible way. To be in the service of Krishna, or to think of Krishna, you're trying to think of killing him, like Kamsa. Well, that is not supposed to, that is not the best. But still he's thinking of God. He's thinking of God. He would truly be, you could truly categorize Kamsa as a God-fearing person. Perhaps not in the way it's thought of today, but generally when they use that term God-fearing, they're a good person and so on and so on. But if you analyze the term God-fearing, certainly Kamsa was the epitome of God-fearing. He was fearing. But as is the case with in many instances, human beings and also lower species of life, when they fear the most, they're the most dangerous. They're the most dangerous. And just like the washerman. Was it the washerman? No, it was the washerman, yes. Yes, the washerman to a degree, but was also the keeper of Kuvalaya Pita. He's the elephant keeper. When Krishna and Balaram came and Kuvalaya Pita blocked the entrance to Mathura, and Krishna said in a very grave voice, "Step aside, we want to come inside there. If you know what is good, if you don't want to be sent to the abode of Yamaraj, you will move aside." He says like that. So, how did the keeper react? "Oh, I better do like that." He became infuriated. That only served to, agitate his false ego more. And he became more angry. How dare he? How dare he say like that? Generally, when someone is puffed up with false ego, any comment that is derogatory or negative will inflame them and agitate them. Even any comment or any look, even if you look, "How dare he? How dare she look at me like that? Who does she think she is? Or who does he think he is to even look at me like that or say those things?" Generally, people say, "Who do you think you are?" Which means to say, because I am so great, and don't you know my position? How dare you even say anything? You are teeny, and I am very great. Right, this is generally the attitude, isn't it? This is the attitude of the asuras. The asuras think like that. That I am great, everyone else is tiny. Meant to serve me. I don't bow down to anyone, everyone should bow down before me. That's like Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, he sent his soldiers everywhere when he conquered Indra. And he occupied the throne of Indra. He was the ruler of the universe. And he sent his soldiers everywhere to knock. And anyone who was, any Brahmana or anyone who was worshipping Vishnu or some other personality, some Deva or something, just to smash that murti. Smash. To stop all the yagyas glorifying Vishnu, to smash any murti. If they want to stop it, or if they want to worship him. They can make murti of him and put on the altar and do the puja to Hiranyakashipu. This was his instructions. They either stop it or they can put my murti there and worship me. I am the Lord of the universe. Well, Kamsa was like that. Kamsa was definitely like that. You know, he was used to getting the worship. He was used to having his orders obeyed. He was used to getting his way. So all of us are like that, to more or less a degree, in the material world, is when we're conditioned by the modes of material nature. We want to get our own way over and above everything else. But a devotee is very humble. He likes to see others achieve what they want, especially in advancement and devotional service, ahead of himself. Ahead of himself. He places himself last. But the materialist wants to place himself first. Let me be first. Let them be last. Isn't it? And me getting. So this is the mentality. So, you know, just interesting that this was mentioned here, that he was overwhelmed with anxiety. He saw them as invincible. And then Krishna and Balaram came into the arena. Just when he saw them, he knew, oh, this Kubalaya Peter must have been killed by them. They came in arrayed with very variegated ornaments, garments, just like a pair of excellently costumed actors. The two mighty armed lords shone splendidly in the arena. But it appeared that there's a description that they came in, because Kubalaya Peeta had just been killed, and Krishna had killed him with one of his own tusks, and he threw him to the ground, and he got up and pulled out a tusk and climbed up on top and stuck the tusk into Kubalaya Peeta, and then he walked off, and he had the tusk over his shoulder. The bloody tusk, and he was covered in a few drops of blood as well. But still he looked very splendid. Still. And interestingly enough here, it's also mentioned that the two lords overpowered the minds of all onlookers with their effulgences. Plural. And one effulgence for both Krishna and Balaram. No. Each had his own effulgence. Every one of us has his own effulgence, but right now it is so covered by our conditioning, by the modes of material and the layers of conditioning. The soul is, the effulgence is very dim. Therefore, you see the materialists, they don't look very effulgent, they look very dark. But Prabhupada always used to say, the devotees, on the other hand, they look very bright. They're very bright. They are bright, and because of their engagement in devotional service, the effulgence, the natural effulgence of the soul is shining through. So each and every one of us, and Krishna and Balaram, imagine the effulgence of Krishna, the effulgence of Balaram, they're overwhelmed. Those assembled in the arena who had come to watch the wrestling match, saw Krishna and Balaram and were overpowered. Their minds were overpowered by their effulgences. Just like at the time when Lord Chaitanya came to Varanasi. He was singing and dancing. and some of the disciples of Pakshananda Saraswati, one of the big sannyasis there, Mayavad sannyasis, saw him, reported, oh, there's one sannyasi singing and dancing. What is this? He's bringing disrepute, you know, to the order of the sannyas. Sannyas is meant for studying Vedanta Sutra, being grave. What is it? Singing and dancing. So, Pakshananda, there was an arrangement to meet Lord Chaitanya. And when Lord Chaitanya came there, they saw him sitting just in the area of the broken pots and everything like that, the rubbish area. But they were very overwhelmed by his effulgence. And they commented, your effulgence is like, you know, so many suns. Their minds were moved, first and foremost, by the Lord's effulgence. And then, of course, the Lord began to speak with them. and convince them about devotional service and so on. So anyway, look, Krishna and Balaram manifest brilliant effulgence. Of course, they must have manifested an effulgence just in a particular way, because their effulgence is unlimited. You know, we read the description in the Bhagavad Gita of the Lord's universal form, and Divi Surya Sahasyasya Bhava Yukaparuti Dayadi Vasadisi Satya Bhava Tasya Mahatma. It is said that if hundreds and thousands of suns rose up in the sky at once, it might resemble the effulgence of that form of the universal form of the Lord. Hundreds and thousands of suns rose up at once. Divi Surya Sahasyasya. This is the description. So the effulgence of the universe from hundreds and thousands of suns. So Krishna and Balaram were manifesting a type of effulgence that was just overwhelming and overpowered the minds of the onlookers. And in this way they came into the arena. Now also mentioned here that the people gazed upon the Lord. All they had heard about Krishna and Balaram, they heard so many stories, had so many pastimes, so many killing of the asuras. Also, you know, the police, the soldiers were overpowered by them, the elephant, so on and so forth. And when they actually saw the lords, they were not disappointed. They were not disappointed. In fact, they were elated even further. And quite often we read about so and so, this one and this one, that one, and then we actually see them. Look at them. Is that all he is? Is that all she is? But I often tell the story of many years ago. I remember driving in at the lights, and this big Rolls Royce pulled up beside us. Big Rolls Royce. Oh, I think it was on the right side. Pulled up. So this big man was in there, dressed very fine, pinstripe in those days, pinstripe suit and everything. Big Rolls Royce driving, and he had that kind of air about him. And oh, this man must be a very rich man. He's giving off so much power. And so then they drove ahead and went far ahead. Then I saw it pulled over. Then this man got out, but he was this tiny little man about this big. What's this? He gave us such a huge image. We thought, oh, this. And then he got out of this tiny little man walking. you would say it's a bit of a disappointment. So quite often we read about this one, we read about that one. But when we meet them in person, oh, it's a letdown. It's a letdown. Either immediately or after some time. Sometimes immediately it's a letdown. Sometimes after some time it's a letdown. We see they don't live up to their image. Very rare to have someone live up to their image. There's this, you know, broadcast far and wide, such and such is like this and that. They're great. They're so handsome, they're so beautiful, they've got so much money, this and that. You know, they're so powerful, but they don't live up to the image. Their character is not good or something. Everyone is flawed in the material world. Have to be. You know, the material body, the karma. There's always some imperfection with everybody. But the Supreme Personality, there's no imperfection. Their beauty, and as mentioned here, the Lord's beauty, character, charm, bravery were very attractive to everyone assembled there. And they were drinking his presence here. They were drinking Krishna and Balaram with their eyes, licking them with their tongue, smelling them with their nostrils, embracing them with their arms. The Lord actually has mentioned that the scent of the Lord, there's a mixture of the camphor and musk, and there's a description there. The scent of the Lord is very, very amazing. Smelling him from a long way. Sometimes when you walk, you can smell the nice flowers, the nice scent. But the Lord's fragrance is so nice. It transcends beyond, the fragrance is beyond this world. Even with our noses, we can only have a limited perception. So this is very, very attractive. The Lord's fragrance, the Lord's form, each and every part of the Lord's body is perfect. In total, the Lord's form is perfect, and each and every part of the Lord is perfect. The Lord's eyes are perfect, the Lord's nose, ears, his face, his neck, his chest, his arms, his legs, his hands, his fingers, his fingernails. If you were to take each one of the parts of the Lord in isolation and study it, it would be perfect. Viewing from the back, viewing from the front, viewing from the side, in any way. Whereas ours is another thing. We have a material body due to our karma, and it is, as soon as it's born, it is destined to die. So it is full of imperfections. So our form is imperfect, our character is imperfect, being afflicted by the modes of material nature. Certainly our charm is very limited. You can charm this one, that one, but can you charm on the level of the personality of God? And our bravery, how brave is Krishna? No one can be equal to or surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this was the effect. And just to see Krishna made the people very happy. Just to see him, they felt happy. Imagine if someone, and it's a fact that some people, by their character and by their personality, just make other people happy. People are very attracted to them. They're very fascinated by them. And this is karma. For ordinary people, it is their karma to have that type of attraction. Why some person, he gets so much attention, so many people seem to be wanting to know their activities, what they say. Very, very attractive. But it's very limited. The Prabhupada, when he came, he's so attractive. What Prabhupada would say, everyone would very want to listen to every word. Quite often we talk, and no one bothers to listen at all. Huh? Our words are different. Not about your words, but my words. But Prabhupada, when he talked, everyone wanted to be in the room with Prabhupada. Very attractive personality. And what is that attraction? The attraction is actually spiritual. Spiritual attraction. The attraction. And these people who are very attractive to others, there's some piety. They're pious people. To have that type of attraction for others. Someone attracts other people. Of course, sometimes, it is perverted. The attraction is perverted and it's affected by the mode of ignorance, so they engage in horrible activities which attract people also attracted to horrible activities. But that type of attraction is very limited. But as you go in the mode of passion and the mode of goodness, those in the mode of goodness are attractive, very attractive to more people. Much more than those in the mode of ignorance. They can attract certain type of people, but they're very, very limited. And then in the mode of passion more, it's like, we see some very great leaders of the world, they have even some very horrendous leaders of the world, they have attractions like the Hitlers of the world, Stalin, they could lead whole nations. What was that attraction? Many people followed them, but that was more in the mode of ignorance, mode of passion. So they lead a lot of people in that way. But that attraction is very limited, because after a while, everyone was attracted. But then a few years later, everyone was hating him. And so many people were trying to kill him. Right? We're talking about Hitler, Stalin. They're able to attract so many in the beginning. Mode of ignorance, mode of passion, attract so many. One can think, well, how is it that they attract? They have so much. Yes, by karma. But that is afflicted by ignorance and passion. And then after a short time, it goes. Attracting so many, and then so many want to kill you. Just like we've written, Hitler and that. Even after a short time, people were planning and plotting to kill him, and then more and more and more and more and more. And now, people look back in history on someone like that and despise such a personality. Before they may be attracted, but then they despise that personality. So So when someone is attracted and then ends up despising that personality in the end, that means that attraction was in the mode of ignorance, or perhaps in the mode of passion. This is the result of mode of ignorance and mode of passion. You know, you're attracted to someone and then you despise that very same person after some time. But those in the mode of goodness, or that attraction is continuing on. That attraction, that affection continues on and increases. Whereas mode of passion and ignorance decreases. But and we see someone in the transcendental position, that attraction increasing more and more, even after their departure. Even after their departure. It's like our attraction to Srila Prabhupada, even after his departure, has grown. Our affection has grown. That means that personality of a very great personality. Very, very great. Jesus Christ also. So many, even after his departure, are still very affected by him, his teaching. He must have been, Prabhupada actually said like that. He said, Jesus Christ, a very great personality. But 2,000 years after his departure, still they are following. And so these types of personalities are very great. Prabhupada, very great. And Krishna, he is the Supreme Personality of God. And so his attraction is all-encompassing. And Balaram also. So when you have Krishna and Balaram together, all-encompassing. Now, here it is mentioned that naturally everyone there assembled in Mathura for the wrestling festival had heard about Krishna and Balaram's adventures. They were very amazed by that. They had great expectations, and when they saw the Lords, all of the expectations were confirmed. Not only that, but their attraction and affection was increased more and more. So, you know, this is the result of engaging in Krishna's service. You're associating. Don't think that we're not having an association with Krishna. Prabhupada was asked many times, "Do you see?" I remember someone asked him, "Do you see God?" Prabhupada, of course, was very humble. He said, "Why? I only see God. You can also see God at every moment." That's how he answered. "Why I only see God?" He said, "You can also see at every moment. What is the difficulty? Just you have to surrender to Krishna. Then at every moment you can see God. You can associate with Krishna." Now, in our process of Krishna consciousness, by chanting, following everything nicely, coming to the temple, having darshan of the deity, and this is Krishna. Devotees, by associating with the devotees, we can associate with Krishna. Krishna is there, manifesting to the devotee in reciprocating with the devotees. So by associating with devotees, we can have association with Krishna. By coming to the temple, we can have association with Krishna. By chanting Hare Krishna, we can associate with Krishna. By rendering service, we associate with Krishna. By tasting Krishna prasad, we associate with Krishna. In so many ways, we're associating with Krishna. Sometimes some of the devotee asks, "How can I associate with Krishna?" You're already associating with Krishna, Prabhu. Didn't you know that? We're associating with Krishna in so many ways. And then how can we associate with Krishna? How can we associate more with Krishna? We'll do these things more. Then, naturally and logically, you will associate with Krishna. You want to associate more with Krishna? Chant more. Chant more. Prabhupada one time said that to Jayadana. He said to him that, "I said minimum 16 rounds a day, not maximum." Sometimes we think like that. This is the maximum amount of rounds I have to do today. So I'll just chant. Maximum I'll do 16. I said minimum. So if you want more association, don't think you are not associating with Krishna. The quality of your association will depend upon your consciousness. The quality, that's another thing. But you're definitely associating with Krishna. Coming to the temple, chanting Hare Krishna, eating Krishna prasad, rendering service in the temple, you're not associating with Krishna. You're associating in so many ways with Krishna. You want to associate more, do these things more. If you want more quality, then improve your consciousness, purify your consciousness. These are the answers to these questions. No need to look for other things. That's like one lady in Adelaide, she asked me one time, the Sunday Feast program. She said, what else do you do besides this? Is there anything else you do besides chanting Hare Krishna? I said, we do more chanting Hare Krishna. There's no other thing. You want more thing? Then chant more. There's no other way. We chant Hare Krishna. What else do? We chant more Hare Krishna. First, we have to try to increase the quality of our chanting, the quality of our consciousness, the quality of our service, the quality of our association and our interacting with it, increase our own quality, and then we'll advance very rapidly. So in Mathura, the devotees there were drinking Krishna's association, smelling Krishna's association, licking him with their tongue, so to speak. So, so many ways. But we also, God is everywhere. God is with you. We are not God. Krishna and Balaram had their own effulgences. Not that they were Brahman, beyond the person. It is not unto Krishna we have to surrender. It is the beyond the Krishna, someone said one time. No, Krishna, he is the Supreme Personality. All right, I'll read this verse again. Tomorrow is verse 23. When Kamsa saw that Kuvalayapita was dead and the two brothers were invincible, he was overwhelmed with anxiety, O king. Arrayed with variegated ornaments, garlands and garments, just like a pair of excellently costumed actors, the two mighty-armed lords shone splendidly in the arena. Indeed, they overpowered the minds of all onlookers with their effulgences. O king, as the citizens of the city and the people from outlying districts gazed upon those two supreme personalities from their seats in the galleries, the force of the people's happiness caused their eyes to open wide and their faces to blossom. They drank in the vision of the Lord's faces without becoming satiated. The people seemed to be drinking Krishna Balaram with their eyes, licking them with their tongues, smelling them with their nostrils and embracing them with their arms. Reminded of the Lord's beauty, character, charm and bravery, the members of the audience began describing these features to one another according to what they had seen and heard. Any question or comment? Yes, ma'am.
Just to ask you, you mentioned the effulgence of Balaram and Lord Krishna. I was wondering how bright is the effulgence of the super soul and our own spiritual particle and what it's covered with and how we uncover it by chanting?
How bright? That will depend on the individual. That I cannot. But we know that Krishna's effulgence is in the universal form. And there's many descriptions of great personalities. When they come, they appear like another sun. Even Daksha, when he came, by his previous karma, was effulgent. Narad Muni is effulgent. He's compared to like another sun. So, you know, that how bright that each individual has his own effulgence, and depending on your level of advancement, that will be manifest to more or less a degree. You mean in the liberated stage, what is our position? What is our effulgence? That will be different from. And one can manifest more or manifest not so much. Sorry, you know. But anyway, there's a description like that, that is like you're like another sun. You're so effulgent. Dazzling effulgence.
Could you talk a little bit about chanting? By
chanting?
Yes, the Maha Mantra.
Yeah.
How you feel about it and how you chant. And just to go over it, sometimes I think it's good for all of us to be reminded.
About chanting?
Yes, you know, the quality of chanting.
And how do I feel about it? I like to chant better. How I feel about it. Well, we should always try to improve our chanting, all of us. And we can do this by, avoiding the offences, chanting with attention, and so on and so forth. As we say every morning, we recite the 10 offences against the devil. We should always be trying to improve, paying attention to our chanting. and chanting with sincerity. And very important, this is our connection, prime method of connecting ourselves to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very, very, very important to chant. Chanting japa, chanting in kirtan. All these different methods of chanting, very, very important. Any other questions?
One comment, Maharaj, one question. You commented about the prowess of the Krishna's, even the elephant, while he could smell Krishna, that apple then, and he was trying to find Krishna.
By scent.
Yes.
Well, I mean, the elephants have got very good sense of smell,
yes.
Naturally. So just anyone they could find out by the sense of smell. Because that was mentioned because the elephant couldn't find Krishna. Krishna had disappeared, wasn't it? I think he ran under his legs or something. Or just ran all over the place and confounded the elephant. So with his smell. But I mean to say, Krishna's fragrance is so nice. It wouldn't have been hard for the elephant to find out Krishna. But then even he found him out, it was to no avail because he still was thwarted by Krishna and then killed by Krishna. Yes.
The other point was the pride and arrogance of Kansa.
Yeah.
Was it fear because of his very bad friends, you know, companions?
Oh yeah, because of his association?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was so bad.
Yeah.
That his pride and arrogance, they were saying, oh yes, I do this for you, I do this.
Yeah.
So they were feeding his confidence to Krishna more and more.
Yeah, they were feeding, yeah.
Arrogance.
Yeah, exactly. We also have our arrogance, and then when we surround ourselves with other people who are the same, and then they feed our arrogance and we become even more arrogant. And this comes to wisdom in that situation also, ministers and so on, feeding him, no, you are so great, praising him, you are so great, who can defeat you, you should take this action, you should do this. So feeding his ego, feeding his false ego. We are like that. We have our own false ego, but then our false ego, and we like to surround ourselves with others who do that, feed our false ego. We like to do that, but that's not good for us. Very bad. Yes. The intelligence is the ability. Listen to the advice of others. Yeah, well, that is intelligence. But of course, intelligence. There's material intelligence, and there's spiritual intelligence. And spiritual intelligence is being able to listen to the advice of the great devotees and Guru and Krishna, and also to follow it. That is perfection of intelligence. Not only listen, but to follow it. I guess what you mean by listen means to hear, to follow. Yeah. Yes.
Where has come to a feeling when the elephant's been killed and Krishna's leader, he knows, but I think when you come to have to surrender to when Sabhadra took the form of Durga, he surrendered and started speaking high philosophy and saying that he would refrain from doing anything bad again.
Well, that's asuras for you. They're very fickle. They're very fickle, they'll come on all sincere, when presented in a certain circumstance. Durga, then he's worshipful. A deity was there in front of him, and then it became all sincere and spirit, and then the next moment, there's demons.
Yeah, so does he ever come to a point of saying that I won't do this, I won't do that, and saying that he actually wants to surrender to Krishna, or he fights for the
He never said he wanted to surrender to Krishna.
He'll just refrain from doing things that implies.
Yeah. Right. He was all sincere in praising Durga Devi. So the asuras are like that. It's all motivated and it's all mixed up. One moment they're very sincere, and the next moment then they're attacking, and then in another moment they're sincere, and then they're attacking again. Mode of passion, mode of ignorance. That's the symptoms of mode of passion, mode of ignorance. Yes, Sankara.
The watchman was afraid of Krishna. I mean, he was afraid of cancer.
Afraid of cancer, yeah.
Kumja, she was in the mode of passion. She wasn't afraid of Krishna, I mean of cancer, but she could take shot of Krishna very easy and give him the sandal paste that was meant for cancer.
That's interesting actually, because the washerman, He was afraid of the king, and he said that to Krishna. How dare you even think of, asking for these clothes? He was afraid, but that wasn't, it wasn't only because he was afraid. Certainly, that was a factor. He was afraid if he gave over these clothes to Krishna and Balaram, and all, what will Kamsa do? But he had his own false ego as well. You understand that? He had his own false ego as well. Yeah. Because he was thinking, I am the washerman for the of the king, and certainly the king might, if I give over these guys, the king becomes, will do something against me. But also I am, so he, on top of it, of being afraid of the king of Kamsa, he had his own false ego. So there, and because of that, because of those two factors, he couldn't surrender to Krishna. But Kubja or Sudama and the florist, and who was the other one? The weaver. They had no false ego. They weren't afraid of Kamsa either. Whatever it was, they were so devoted to Krishna that these things were not a consideration. So they were able to totally surrender to Krishna. So it's an interesting point that some were not able to surrender, and really the prime reason for that is their own false ego, as well as being afraid of Kamsa. So that's why they can't surrender. Well, is the intelligence coming from the super soul? In what way? What do you mean? Like, certainly everything comes from the Supreme Personality. I mean, we're given a body and we're given mundane intelligence. But you mean how to do like this and how to do like that? Is that coming? The super soul is giving instruction because he's fulfilling your desire. So you need a certain type of intelligence to be able to do this and do that, do the other thing. So, but that is more, the super soul fulfills those desires and gives one the intelligence. How the Prabhupada said like that, I always read that. Where one time in Hawaii, I was reading in a conversation book, the devotees were talking about instinct and how animals know by instinct to do like this and to do like, even after they're born, immediately after they're born. And Prabhupada, he says, there's no such thing as instinct. He said, actually, it is the super soul reminding them they have to act like this. Now you're in this body, you have to do like this. Just like the newborn calf. How does it know to immediately come over and suck on the nipple of the mother? How does it know to do that? Immediately they just go over, and the mother, gave instructions and sat the calf down or something like that. No. They just know. Immediately they know to do it. How? Instinct, I'll say, the science of it. Instinct. What is it? No such thing as instinct. Super soul is instructing them. Do like this, do like that. Now you're in this body, you have to do like this. Awakening. So, yes, in that way, yes. He's giving me intelligence how to act on the material platform. How to do it. But the choice of doing it is yours. You know what I'm saying? The choice. He's not saying do this and do that and do that, but he's telling you how to do it. He's reminding you had these desires previously and now you have to fulfill them. But the choice is yours whether you want to do it or not. So it's a little bit complicated, the interaction there. Mahamantra in the Super Soul. So the Super Soul is directing everyone, whether materialist or devotee, according to their position, their desires. Instinctively? Instinctively. What did I just say? Prabhupada says there's no such thing. Is it? They say mama, or you don't say that to them?
No, they just start saying a word without even being taught. You wonder how they learn that.
Yeah, super sorry. Yeah. Reminding them. Okay, now you have to do this. Yeah, last question. Yeah. You read that,
yes.
The washerman was previously when Lord Ramchandra went back to Ayodhya, and then he went home, and his wife was away, you know, just talking to some other men, and she came. That man. You read that,
right? Yes.
Okay. There you go. You learn something every day, isn't it? that person who criticized
Lord Rama.
Yeah, but I'd always got my goat up that criticism. I was always thinking, who is this? He was a Brahmana too, wasn't he? I can't remember if it was a Brahmana. He was criticizing his wife, and then he compared to, I'm not like Lord Ram, some henpecked, right?
Yeah.
I remember reading that thing.
Yeah.
And a puffed up personality. So there you go. Then he had to come back as the washerman. Also, again, that reinforces my point about the false ego.
Mm.
It wasn't just out of fear of Kamsa that he couldn't surrender to Krishna.
Yeah.
He had a colossal false ego,
yeah,
which was coming from the time of Lord Ram.
Mm.
So he had to. So he had this colossal false ego. So therefore. Yeah, he got his just desserts there, didn't he? Yeah. But because he had that contact with Ram and you know, in Ayodhya, he was killed by Krishna. That's an interesting story. Jai, all glory to Srila Prabhupada ki jai.